Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old. Soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters. Because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 29.
This is Writing Excuses, Episode 2 of our Dialogue Masterclass, The Job of Dialogue.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And I wish I sounded as good as Maurice.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Maurice.
Oh, he sounds good when he's laughing.
That's Howard. So this week we're going to talk about the job of dialogue. And so, Maurice, I'm just going to ask you, what is the job of dialogue?
So first off, I mean, there's a difference between dialogue and conversation, right? And I think we touched upon that last week with the whole idea of just recording a conversation between folks, between friends, family, whatever. And when you listen to a conversation, I mean, a conversation is just this, it's people who are in each other's presence. They're enjoying each other's company, hopefully. But it's going all over the place. There's no real purpose or direction to it. It's a conversation. It's an exchange of ideas. Versus dialogue. Dialogue has a very specific purpose in writing and in telling stories. So the way I look at it is, you know, whenever I'm coming to a scene that, and dialogue's involved, it's like, all right, I keep it in mind. I need to, you know, be moving the story forward. I need to be providing information, and I need to be honing in on characterization of the people who are engaged in this conversation or in the dialogue, right? So I see those as those three things. That's the actual job of dialogue.
Right. And within that, there's something that I'm going to be talking about a couple of times throughout this course, which is the area of intention. And the area of intention is like why the dialogue is, why the spoken line is happening. And this goes for like actually verbal and unspoken dialogue. But whenever someone is talking, there is a reason they're saying the thing. And every piece of dialogue has two areas of intention. There's the authorial area of intention, the reason the author needs it to happen. And there's the character area of intention, which is why the character is saying the thing. So in this episode, what we're focusing on is the authorial area of intention, the why is this here and what load-bearing thing is it doing for us?
And as often as not, when I'm writing, a portion of the job of the dialogue is to be entertaining. It needs to be funny. It needs to be witty. It needs to be pithy. It has to do more than just advance the story and inform us about who the characters are and what they want or don't want and where conflicts are. And I mean, and that's a huge load. That's some seriously heavy lifting. But then for my own part, I have to make sure that the reader feels rewarded for reading some of those lines of dialogue, that the banter is entertaining.
Yeah. And so a lot of what you're doing is, like, I joke, and it's not a joke, that everything that happens in a story is exposition, because all of it is, you know, it's conveying information, and sometimes that information is about the tone. Sometimes that information is about the characters, but it's all conveying information. And part of our job is to mask that and to use a bunch of different techniques so that the reader doesn't notice that. So banter, keeping them entertained in whatever form, whether that's through tension or humor, all of that is to mask the fact that I am giving you a piece of information that you need in order to understand what happens next.
So, yeah, I keep remembering, you know, because there's always this conversation like, oh, well, you know, in terms of, you know, providing that information, it's like we see a lot of bad examples of that. All right, hang on, let me confess. First off, I'm a TV junkie. particularly of like police procedurals. I just love police procedurals. So CSI is like one of my comfort watching things. And actually I'm watching, what am I watching right now? Silent Witness, which is basically a British version of CSI.
Cool.
But you see all the best, and by best, I mean worst examples of this providing information, right? Because you know, you have these scientists and they are explaining these tests out loud, right? But they're explaining it to their colleagues who hopefully took the same classes and understand the same things that, you know, that is going on. Mm-hmm. And that's a poor mask. Yeah. of providing information. It's a poor mask of info dumping. And so I often get that question. It's like, oh, so when is info dumping bad? And I'm like, well, it bad isn't quite the word we're looking for, right? Because we need the information as readers, as viewers, we need that information. It's how do you mask that? Because, you know, one of my favorite books is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That is literally one big info dump. Mm-hmm. The whole book is just one big info dump. But we don't care because of what Howard said, because it's entertaining, right? And so you don't really notice, oh, it's literally an encyclopedia giving us information all the time.
I was just watching, we've been rewatching CBS Elementary, the Sherlock Holmes with Johnny Lee Miller, Lucy Liu. And there was a moment where, you know, Johnny Lee Miller asks a scientist on screen, says, you know, tell Watson what you told me about DNA profiles. And the old scientist says, I would be happy to, but I think I need to ground you first in a bit of molecular cellular biology, at which point Holmes says, hold that thought a moment, and cuts the connection and turns to Watson and says, he can get kind of long-winded. And I love that moment because it tells us, yes, there's a whole bunch of science here, and we're going to hand wave it and just arrive at the conclusion. And there's this tension release where the old guy starts talking and you think, oh, please, no, this is going to be boring. And I want to hear Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu talk. And then he disconnects and there's a moment of joy as the old guy gets cut off.
Yeah, those are, I think, another kind of entertaining. You know, in addition to all of the load-bearing informational properties dialogue has, sometimes it's funny, like Howard said. Sometimes it needs to be frightening, or it needs to be triumphant or badass or something where we are evoking a specific emotional response, because that's the part of the story where we want the audience to feel a certain way. We want them to be quoting a particular line because it's so good. Yeah, all of these different kinds of entertainment.
Yeah, and sometimes the job is to transition us into another part of the story. So sometimes it's like this is the line of dialogue where everything shifts. It's representing the moment when a character changes their mind, or the moment when I need the reader to understand that this is not the story that they thought it was. You know, the it's not quite a reveal, but it's like, oh, no, reader, just remember this looks like we're all having a good time, but you are actually in a horror story, which is most of it.
So speaking of transitions,
this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WX.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's transition into our book of the week, which this week, Mary Robinette, is you. You were going to tell us about The Murder of Mr. Wickham.
So, The Murder of Mr. Wickham by Claudia Gray. This is a book that was basically written for me. It is a Jane Austen murder mystery. And by that, I mean Claudia Gray has taken all of the Jane Austen main characters and their love interests, and they're all married now, and brought them to a single house party for reasons that makes contextual sense. And then Mr. Wickham shows up and someone kills the guy. And it's a good murder mystery. It's a good Austen pastiche. It has a romance between two new characters that are the children of some of your beloved characters. It's so good. And the reason that I brought it up particularly for this is that as a murder mystery, every line of dialogue contains a potential clue. And so the authorial area of intention there, the amount of load-bearing that the dialogue is doing is so good. And they also all sound like Austenian characters. They all sound like distinct characters. And then kind of one of the other things that I love about it is the absence of a thing that we have not yet talked about, which is maid-and-butler dialogue, or we haven't talked about it by name, which is basically where a maid and a butler stand around and have a conversation about things that they both know about, only so that the audience will also know about this thing. So, and there's none of that in this, even though there are, in fact, maids and butlers, and they do speak. It's great. It's just a good read. I really enjoyed it a lot. So that's The Murder of Mr. Wickham by Claudia Gray.
That's awesome. I remember when she told me about that book and I said, please make sure you send that to Mary Robinette. She said, I already did. Don't worry. So that's great. Let's talk some more about the job of dialogue. One of the things that we have referred to, but haven't really gone into in detail, is how dialogue can move the story forward. We've said that's not the only thing it has to do, but that is one of the things it has to do. How do we make sure that our dialogue is actually advancing the story instead of just spinning wheels?
Right. So one of the things I think about is this whole idea of like dialogue is kind of like conversation that confronts conflict, right? So one of the things that we do is So Mary Robinette's got me thrown off. I'm still thinking about this whole idea of areas of intent. So I'm going to see if I can weave these two ideas together, right? So we have this whole idea as an author, you know, each conversation has to confront the conflict that's either in that scene or in the overarching narrative, right? But then as a character, dialogue is a tool that they use to achieve their objective, which still serves the authorial intent. But on the character level, you know, dialogue becomes a tool of which they are trying to work out what it is they're trying to seek, to complete their arc. Sorry, Mary Robinette. I got all these things going on in my head. So you talk right now while I get all this stuff untangled.
Yeah. This is why I love doing these podcasts, because every time I also have the, I had this whole unpacking when you were talking earlier and wrote a ton of notes. So when we're talking about moving the story forward, basically, stories, we've talked about this in other episodes, that stories are a series of questions that you're answering for the reader. And some of them are things where the reader supplies their answer based on the information you've given them. And some of them are, here's the next piece of information you need. And so it's this causal event chain that's happening. So one of the things that dialogue can do as part of that moving forward is that it can either give the reader a piece of information that they need, or it can raise a question for the reader that creates tension that causes them to want to keep going. There's also the entertaining aspect, which is just, this is funny, which is part of like keeping them engaged as other things are happening. But if it's just funny, eventually they will opt out because they'll get frustrated that there's no forward momentum. So the two things that are moving the story forward are providing information or providing a question, raising a question.
Yeah. You just reminded me of that. There's a lot of times when I'm in that, I'm going to call it the Howard mode, where I have my two characters and they're, you know, doing this rapid banter back and forth. And there comes a point where I realize, usually in editing, that I've just fallen in love with these characters and I just wanted to hear them talk.
Yes.
Right. And so then I have to ask myself, does this dialogue scene, does this actually move the story forward, or have I just fallen in love with their voices and I just want to keep that going? And is it actually necessary to the story?
And that's what we call Brandon mode or Mary Robinette mode, which is, do I step in now and cut off Howard? I love the idea of conversation, of dialogue being inherently funny because the compression algorithm that we use to put a conversation from real life into dialogue in a book breaks some of the rules that we implicitly understand about the way people converse. For instance, information should not flow that quickly from a conversation. But in dialogue in a book, it can flow that quickly. And that's a thing. Anytime you are breaking a rule, whether it's, you know, throwing a cuss word or falling into a manhole or whatever, there's the opportunity for humor. And so the very fact that we compress conversations into dialogue can be a source of humor just because of the pacing. I love that, and I exploit it a lot.
Yeah. You just also reminded me of a thing that I should have mentioned when we were talking about moving the story forward with the, you know, information or the questions, is that sometimes the thing that moves the story forward is achieving a goal. And when you're doing that compression that you're talking about, it's part of it is compressing it to the point where it is serving that need, you know, whichever need it is that you've pegged as, this is the thing that the load bearing thing that this piece of dialogue is doing. And, you know, a conversational, like not just a line of dialogue, but a dialogue that is ongoing will serve multiple functions. Each individual line may serve one or more, but it is this constant pull through, and you use whatever carrot you can to pull the reader through.
Yeah. In the novella, Shafters, Shifters, and the Chassis of Chance, which is probably going to hit Kindle in June or July, there's an interview scene where it could have been hugely info dumpy. One of the characters, yes, this is a Howard Taylor thing. Tell us what happened, said Judd. Start at the beginning. No, said Chris. I'll start with what's important, and then you'll tell me something important, and we'll keep taking turns until we've run out of important things to say. And everybody in the room was like, oh, that seems really smart. And it sets up this banter pattern of reveal after reveal after reveal. And the reveals include some lies, which we find out to be lies later. But it fixed a huge pacing problem that I had in the first two drafts of the scene, which is, no, I can't let this guy tell the story from the beginning. That breaks everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I'm struggling with in a book right now, which is all about, or one of the main functions of the magic system is memory loss, which meant that I had three different points in the second half of the book where a character had to re-explain everything to a character who should already have known it. And it just got so boring, and I had to find different ways to get around that, or to have it happen off screen, or to do, you know, compressions or abridgments so that we weren't bored recapping the book four times. Anyway, let's end with our homework. And you can probably guess what that homework is. Mary Robinette, what is it?
So your homework is about area of intention. I want you to do two things. And that's right. This is a two-part homework. One is to grab a book or a movie or whatever that you really enjoy. Or it's okay if you do it with something you don't enjoy, because this may break it slightly. Identify the area of intention for the lines of dialogue. So what you're doing is you're looking at how another author has done this, because it's often easier to identify with someone else's work. Like, why do you think each line is there? And then the other thing that I want you to do is I want you to go back to that transcript that Maurice had us do previously. And I want you to decide on authorial area of intention for yourself. Like, if I were going to have this scene happen, what is my intent for this scene? And I want you to cut every line of dialogue that does not serve your authorial area of intention.
Sounds good. This is Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write.
For this episode of Writing Excuses, your hosts were Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, Maurice Broaddus, and Howard Taylor. It was engineered by Daniel Thompson and mastered by Alex Jackson. To find more of Writing Excuses and support us, check out patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.